Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. I do hope you had a great week. Mine wasn't too bad. I mean, still had some really bad allergy days. I think it was yesterday. It was like a 10.8, and it was pretty bad. I stepped out a couple times, and I could just feel the tension of pollen that's in the air for certain trees. I still haven't pinpointed exactly what trees, but I know there's trees. I mean, I'm feeling less congested today, but it's still, my throat's still a little bit bothered. But doing my best to try to survive an allergy time for myself because trees is my worst. Rest of the year probably won't be that bad, but trees, man, hard times. So anyway, this week, we are going to be talking about. Because I remember I did the armor about 2 years ago in a series on that. This is going to be about like the boots of peace. It's going to be geared towards understanding the idea of peace. You see, one of the big battles that we have going on right now is that when we think of peace, we think how the world thinks of peace, like a utopia where there's nothing's going wrong, everything's perfect, there's no war, all diseases are solved, and there's no more hurting because as long as I don't hurt anybody, I don't have to worry about it. Like it's good. And so that's where the social justice gospel ideology kind of is making its way in because we're trying to create this like universal acceptance of people where they're at, the battles they go through, and we need to be more genuine with them. And this is not how we're supposed to be. This is not the gospel message. It's not about people's sins. It's just, well, I should say, it's about sins that people are angry about of the past, present, and even the future. However, where it's heading towards is the moral understanding of what is right and what is wrong, biblically speaking versus the world speaking. Now, we talked about worldview last week. So the idea is that there is going to be this battle still, even with understanding peace. Because in humanity's view of peace, that means we can't create, like we're not supposed to be as Christians creating any issues. So that means if we're against somebody, we shouldn't be because that's not very loving. They start changing the word just slightly enough. Like if you don't support this, then you're not really being like Jesus. You're not really loving that person. You're not really helping them discover Christ because you're disagreeing with them. But the truth is, if we go and look at Jesus's life, he did confront people who were doing sin, who were doing wrong, who were not doing things right, and he confronted them with the truth. Because the one thing we have to understand is that God is going to bring peace at the end. We will never get it here. Not the peace of utopian ideology in the sense of no sin, no more sorrow, no more sadness, and no Revelations promises that there will be. Excuse me, one second. There would be this form of no sin, because the idea is that sin is what brings in the hardship, the horrors, the disease, the separation that we have with God. But the one thing about peace is that we can all say that we've gone through battles. We have gone through demonic schemes. We have failed in our sin. We have walked away from walking with the Lord. We have either disobeyed him. We have done, sins. We've lied. We've maybe stolen, maybe hurt someone's feelings. We may have made bad choices in life. Right? But all that doesn't just go away because we accepted Christ. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about all those things don't just go away. There's consequences for action. You may lie again. You might hurt someone's feelings again. You may fall back into some of your traps. You may hurt somebody when you didn't mean to, a car accident that you just didn't see them and you hit them And now they're in the hospital or they died. Illnesses still are there. People still get sick. But what Christ did, he saved us from the penalty of sin and death. But what is biblical peace then? Romans 16, 19 through 20 says, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you." This is whoever wrote Romans. Many think it's Paul. Some think it's other people. "So that I rejoice over you." And the reason why they think some people think it is Paul, because of the wordage, sounds very similar. "But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil." Now, that what that's saying is to understand what is good and innocent versus what is evil. Because the God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Okay? There's a form of wisdom. There is obedience being spoken about this. Wisdom comes from somewhere, does it not? We have to learn where wisdom comes from. And that's the knowledge we gain. So they want us to be wise as to what is good and innocent versus what is evil. So we have to gain the knowledge of understanding that. But the God of peace will soon crush Satan, which means it tells you that there's going to be a time where God's going to win. Like, what he's allowed Satan to be able to have access to what he has access to with limitations. But there's going to be a time where Satan will no longer have any say. He's done. But what is this peace? If God's going to bring this peace, if he's a God of peace, that means there's something going on now that we have gained a form of peace, is there not? When I was younger, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was always a verse I stood by. And even in the time, I even had my thoughts on what it meant, but even God still showed me over time more and more of understanding these verses. But we're going to go up to verse 8, because there's a big part to all this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." So you trust in the Lord, but it also says you don't try to figure out what he's trying to do. And I can tell you, I'm guilty of that a lot. Because he gives me these ideas, these visions, these plans, and then when I start doing them, they're not really working out the way I want it. And then he's like, "Hey, you got to do all this stuff first, or, you know, I got to put you through this a little bit. I mean, I got to have you go meet this person over here." So he starts doing all this other stuff. And even though in my mind, I'm like, but I could see that I'm supposed to be there, but for some reason I can't get there straight up. And a lot of times it's because we start trying to figure out how to get there instead of stopping. And this is where, you know, taking that step back and allowing God to show what he wants us to see. Show us the path we're supposed to go, because verse 6 comes into factor. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths," plural. That means there's more than one path, not just one. So verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him," it means you're giving him access to all aspects of your life. You're giving up control. Which is why verse 5 matters so much, because you're giving up control because you trust God. And you're not trying to figure out like an understanding of his whys. Doesn't mean you don't ask the questions, because sometimes asking questions helps you find direction and paths. So, now we have verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil." Be not wise in your own eyes. Once again, it is telling you that you need to stop trying to figure things out. You need to let go of trying to get all the answers all the time. Like currently, the plan that he has for my wife and I, we both concerned is how we're going to get the money, because we don't have the money to do all this stuff. But I've been telling her, I've been telling myself, He has the money. I just gotta keep learning, keep growing, keep studying, keep helping you guys, keep building on, you know, Warrior Within, figure out how to build on the ministry right now and start working on, like, you know, the videos and stuff that I've been trying to work on. God's gonna do all this stuff. I just need to focus on what he wants me to do right now and the different things, and he'll handle the money part. And it doesn't mean I'm not keeping my eyes open, because, man, you know, it might be someone I meet. It could be something that happens. I got it. Like, you got to be paying attention. That's why there's paths and not just path, because you need to go through certain things to learn. So I remember, you know, the first 10 years of my wife's and I's marriage, it was a struggle. It was hard. It was, there's times where I felt worthless, felt broken, like beyond repair. I mean, I just felt like, man, we're not finding answers for anything, for ministry opportunities, my wife's health. And it just felt like I just didn't understand. And that was a lot of things came out of my mouth. People would even say, I just don't understand what God's doing. And I said, I don't understand what God's doing either. Like, like all the stuff that I went through, I couldn't get full-time jobs. I can only get part-time jobs. And it was very frustrating. I learned that, you know, to trust God, and he used, like, my family, my wife's family, and a couple friends to really help us from falling apart, like literally just losing it all. And I will say, even my gaming communities that I was a part of helped me a lot during that time. But I didn't really understand peace 100% until we moved to Connecticut. My dog died. That was super hard. We only had him for about 8 years, and it was hard saying goodbye to him. My wife had a hard time during that whole year into the next year. I completely had no control of everything that was going on. And then, you know, 2019, like, one of the hardest parts of my life and hers as well, my wife's, and that, all that, God showed me an understanding of peace. I'm going to take a quick break right here. See, I had to learn what it meant to have peace without seeking vengeance, without allowing it to completely control, like everything that was happening, to control my ministry, my mission. I really was struggling. Because a lot of times, especially in 2019, when it just felt so overwhelming, I wanted to speak harshly out loud with the issues that I saw. But I still remember God saying, "You minister, I will take care of the battle." See, during all that, fear wants to get its little head in. It wants me to wear those boots. It wants me to doubt. It wants me to give up. It wants me to go get angry and just go after everybody and hurt them. This is why in Romans 12, 17 through 21, it states, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable inside of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." You notice it says peaceably. Now, this peaceably is not talking about the peace that the boots we wear. It is talking about not citing out or making advances to cause issue. In other words, don't create problems because you're mad, because you're upset, because you're hurt. Because it says in verse 19, "Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, when we get into fear, we start kind of allowing our minds to be controlled by our anger, by our hurt, by our resentment, by doing everything possible, sneaky boots running around trying to gain revenge, pick sides, create issues in the background to pull people into a war of some type. And I wasn't doing that. However, I was trying to get people to be aware that something was not right. And people were seeing it for themselves. I didn't have to steer them. They saw it. And they started opening about their things. However, it wasn't God's plan for me to stay. God always has his will, his plan, his paths. These verses really helped me to remember how I'm supposed to act when things are as they were. Peace is our understanding of God's truth in our life, even when things are not going as we hoped. It's like an unknown formula. There's no formula we can stand by and says, this is how it works and this is how you're supposed to do. There's no formula. It's the only thing we're supposed to be doing is trusting, right? That's where we go. We get to go into that perspective. So we find peace with God because the key to it is in Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. It states, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Once again, we saw in Proverbs, the word trust comes up. And it's trust with situations and the unknowns. Because we all have the unknowns. We all know what it's like when we have to struggle and we can't see the future. Someone has an illness and we can't see the future if they're going to live or die. But there's that little bit of fear that starts trying to creep in because it wants you to give up on that trust thing. Don't trust God. God doesn't care about so and so. Oh, they have the big C. They're just going to die. God's not going to heal them. Oh, you had this fantastic job. Look at you got fired. You're not very good at your job. Oh, well, I guess God doesn't care about you. Oh, you're going through this hard time with your wife. Oh, well, sounds like you need to start talking about divorce because God doesn't care. You see, these are the whispers that the enemy is going to keep trying to throw into your mind because it wants you to not trust. Trust is having wisdom to gain knowledge, to obey the truths that God has given us, and to stand firm with it. This is why we can have peace through hard times and good times. Because we gain the wisdom that turns into knowledge because we're willing to obey and follow God. We're willing to read His Word. We're willing to spend time thinking about God's Word, asking questions, studying it up, looking up words, going to the Greek and Hebrew, finding pastors that really speak the truth, going into the scriptures and applying those scriptures into our life and obeying the scriptures in our life and doing the scriptures in our life. This is why we can have peace. The more we know God, the more trust we can have in Him. Isn't that kind of like how it is with people? The more we build trust with someone, the more they'll trust us, the more we trust them, and the more we count on them, the more we can trust in them. God does a similar thing, However, he's perfect, so he's going to love us, chastise us, and he's going to, allow us to have consequences for our wrongs. But he also still shows blessings, he shows grace, he shows mercy, and he does show love in amazing ways, and he can provide in amazing ways, and he can do things in amazing ways that we would never expect it to happen. But trusting means we don't know the unknown, we don't know what's going to happen, but yet I'm going to say, I trust you, Lord, because I know you, because I spend time in your word, and I know what you say. And even though it doesn't seem like the answer's around the corner, it doesn't seem like there's any daylight ahead, I'm going to stand in peace because you know, and I can have peace of mind as I stand in each of these situations moving forward or standing still. So my last thoughts in this whole thing are going to be about the boots of peace, boots of fear. You know the boots of peace are from God, and the boots of fear from the world. When we do not have the trust we should have in God, in the worst times, fear will get in. It will step in. And it will start whispering in your ears all the things that God is not, so that you will selfishly chase after those fears because, in some ways, you have somewhat control. But then there's also times where that hopelessness starts coming in, or giving up, or quitting on people. Like people who suddenly just in a relationship things get hard, they leave. Then suddenly, like, divorce is around the corner, and it's like we haven't even tried counseling, we haven't even tried talking, we haven't tried anything to try to heal what's there. I mean, how many times have we quit? And all it could take with us for us to do is just step forward and trust. Maybe say, "Hey, I was wrong. I did hurt you, and I'm sorry." Because once again, you see how pride can get in the way, because putting up your boots of fear automatically starts heading into the shield of pride. And the shield of pride doesn't want anybody to be changing anything, you know what I mean? You see, 1 Timothy 1:7 gets used a lot. It says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The whole chapter is about what has been given to us. It's a letter that Paul sent to Timothy, and it's talking about the entrustment that we have from the gospel and the truth that we are given from Scripture. When fear enters into the mix, we cannot see Scripture or the truth correctly, can we? Start seeing what we want to see. Start chasing after desires that we want to have. Our truth even starts changing. Our belt starts looking different. Our heart starts reacting differently. Our idea of who God is and salvation from the helmet suddenly doesn't make sense. Our truth helps us have a better understanding of trust, truth and trust. The stronger your truth is and who God is and knowing Him, the better you can have in trust in Him. This is why I always say, spend time in God's word. Having a hard time, spend time in God's word. Man, sins are just getting hard, spend time in God's word. The more you get to know God, the more you're going to be able to see when He's trying to help us have discernment or trying to give us a way out of temptation. You got to start asking the right questions. But we also got to be willing to receive the answers that God provides through people, through His scriptures, or just some random conversation. Maybe it was a song that just, it just, scripture and the song just kind of hit your head and you're like, it makes sense now. Because you see, fear loves to get in, loves to get in there and start ripping at us and taking things apart. Because if it can do that, then it can start destroying our feet. This is why in my head I get the image, you know, because we talk about the armor of God. You have your sword, your shield, your armor, and you're standing there and you're taking all the hits that are coming at you. And we think that, you know, we got to plant our feet all the time, and sometimes we have to. But having boots of peace means as we go through the battles we face, we can have peace about it. Because you know that in fights, in a war, you can't win by just standing still. Sometimes there has to be times where we do need to stand still. This is why the feet are very important. If you don't understand what it means to trust God, how are you going to understand how to have peace? Peace is just such a beautiful description of what God can give us. And I really didn't understand it until I went through all that. And even after, even though I had a lot of anger and hurt, because I mean, it still hurts, guys. You can still get hurt and you can still feel the pain and you can still feel the guck just kind of combing over your heart and your mind. How you view people, how you see things in life. And I know I've said, I wish nobody to go through what I've gone through, but at the same time, I'm glad I went through what I went through. I do wish I was 10 years younger, but I do know that these battles help me to also see things, pay attention to things, and to not be so, I guess, how I was before when I looked at anything Christian. I mean, you have to be really careful. Just because someone puts the word Christian in front of it doesn't mean they're biblically sound. This is why it helped me to really understand the importance of really stepping into studying the scriptures more, spending time with God, asking the questions, doing studies more. To me, I feel like the more when I pick subjects to study in, I learn a lot more than just straight up reading, because it allows me to really engage into the scriptures. Like seeing the connections from the Old Testament to the New, understanding this verse and why God, you know, why Jesus used that when he was talking, to better understanding the parables, to better understanding, you know, Revelations, to better understand, you know, the prophets when they were speaking. Like, it's just really neat because that's just how my brain works. Some people, they could just keep reading the Bible and man, they just keep learning like crazy. And I tried that because that was what I was taught in high school. You know, I went to a Baptist high school and they were like, oh, you just need to read every day. You need to read. And I tried that, but I didn't feel like I was understanding it because it was just reading. It, like reading it didn't just help me. I had to like study a little bit more. So if anything you guys could take for today, and I know some of you, because I've heard some of you guys in the Discord, you know, so you've said how much you've spent more time in God's word and you're actually seeing more about God. That's that peace that God's giving. That's that trust that you're building with him, so that when you do battle with something, when it starts getting hard, guess what? God's going to step in. He's going to remind you, hey, remember, I have this promise in the word. You just read this like a few weeks ago. And you'll be like, oh, yeah. You see, that's the importance of spending time in God's word. But that's, for me, studying it is actually way stronger for me. So make sure you figure out what works for you. If just reading isn't helping, then study it. And technically, I think all of us should be studying it, but study it more. So like pick a word and just study that up, have a better understanding, learn the Greek, learn the Hebrew. So that way you're just like, boom, oh, Lord, now that makes sense. So like I said, I picture us, you know, armor, walking in life, and that peace that God's going to give us because we built up the trust, because we spent time in his word, because we study his word, because we spend time in praying, because we spend time applying these things from his word into our life, that trust is going to be stronger. You know, there's that one story where he says, you know, a father's not going to give his kid a serpent or a prickly cactus, I think it was the other one, or something like that, a rock, instead of a bread, or, you know, food, or water, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you gotta have in your mindset. God doesn't do evil to us. Evil is there because of sin. There's consequences. So God allows consequences to happen. He'll allow us to fail. You know, he's been like, hey, I've been telling you for the past, year, you should probably start looking for another job. And you're like, oh, I love this job. It's great money. And then suddenly, like, a year later, you're laid off. I literally had something like that literally happen to me, but I left before I would have been laid off. When I went back to college, I remember I decided to go back to college, and my boss at the time, or my manager, encouraged me to do it. Literally 3 months later, he emails me and says, good thing you went back to school, because we had to lay off 4 people and you probably would have been one. You see, God can direct us for a reason, and we got to trust him. And even though I didn't want to leave that job, and I wanted to keep doing it because I was about to buy a house and everything, but because I trusted him, he pulled me out of a situation that would have been really bad. Just like he pulled me out of my last job. There's a reason. Just like he allowed the COVID situation to happen here in the United States. It revealed things, but it also showed us things. It also helped us to kind of grow in our faith a little bit, but also it also showed some brokenness, and there's some weaknesses and bad discipling issues that are going on, and bad things did happen. People died. God wasn't like, he didn't just like not care. He was there. See, that's the peace. I didn't know what was going to happen during that time. My number one thought was, my wife is going to get COVID and she's going to die because, her immune system is not the best. But God protected her, and I trusted. And I lived all that whole time with so much uncertainty, because I could not get a part-time job because no one would hire. I could not get a ministry job because all the churches closed their jobs. I could not get anything. And I was getting more frustrated. And yet God was like showing himself every little bit, every step. He was there showing all these different things. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what it means to understand that we have been given a power and a love and a self-control. Because what we would like to do is not have self-control in some situations. Sometimes we don't want to be loving. And we don't feel powerful. That's where trusting in God is all about. Because I could tell you this, like 1 Timothy 1:7 states, not the spirit of fear, because what would be if we got into the spirit of fear is we will feel like we have power, but we really don't. Like, it's just, you just fall apart. We start chasing after things that we want, and we think that's love. And we start turning off that self-control button and just do whatever we want. We get angry, frustrated, upset. So I hope you guys take this and really think about it and reflect in your life. Are you wearing the boots of peace, or are you wearing the boots of fear? Where's your trust lie? Your trust with God weak? Maybe you need to spend more time in God's word. Maybe you need to spend more time praying. Whatever it may be, the first step is you need to recognize whether you're in fear or you are in peace with God, because you have trust in God and not trust in yourself or in the world or things that you have or chasing after sins. That's why I always talk about repent, repent, repent. I still repent. I make mistakes, and I have to repent about it. Because if we don't do that, it's going to start kind of creating a wedge between us seeing God as we should and being more like the world, not like the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time. I ask you, bless this conversation. I ask you, use it for your glory. May your name always be glorified through this podcast. Help me to stay true to your word, stay true to my faith with you, trust you, And I know that you, whatever plans you have for the future for Warrior Within, I will be ready to take those paths and I will trust you. And I know that other people at some point will also be growing in their faith and that they will see you do amazing things in their lives because they're willing to let you feed them peace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all have a great day, great week, and I will see you next time. God bless.